Easter afternoon, Jesus' followers were still unclear about what happened, and they were walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus. It'd be a trip like walking from here to Merton, something you may not want to do, but something back then people did every day. And as they're walking along, Jesus shows up, and he's talking with them, and they don't even recognize him. How could that be? One suggestion is that they were so wrapped up in their grief that they just couldn't see him. Then, of course, detractors of this story will say, see, this is proof that Jesus really didn't rise from the dead, because even those closest to him didn't recognize him. So it was all wishful thinking. But once again, the temptation here is to get lost in all the details and to try to figure everything out. As we come to the meat of the story, I'm reminded of the old adage that says, it's not the destination that matters, it's the journey. Our story today tells us it's not the journey or the destination, but it's both. Because the destination is the journey. The journey is the destination. It's something we repeat the whole cycle of our lives. When we are working to support families, taking care of stuff at home, running kids to endless practices and games, serving God by serving others, all the stuff we do, it can have the impact of leaving us feeling pretty empty. Sometimes we see Jesus with us, but frankly, a lot of times we just don't. We're tired, we're preoccupied, we're rushing to get to the next thing, whatever the reason. Well, you know what? The people in our story today, they were in the same boat. They just couldn't put the pieces together. And then when they stopped for the night and got ready to eat, Jesus took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, and suddenly, in those familiar words, they recognized him again. And they realized, oh, this is Jesus with us. In the breaking of the bread, they saw Jesus there. Well, isn't that just how it is? See, we see and we touch and we feel Jesus here in this place, in this bread and wine. The symbols of the meal that Jesus ate with his disciples. And as we do, we are filled back up. Now, I don't know how it is for you, but for me, it's on the weeks that I feel the most emptied out, the weeks I've been busiest, the times I feel the most tired. Those are the times I feel like I get to be filled up even more here. Maybe because I'm less defensive. Maybe because I'm hungrier for it. Maybe because the hole inside of me is a lot deeper and there's more room in me. But whatever the reason, the weeks I work the hardest are the times I feel most filled up with Christ as he comes in his bread and wine. And by the way, you know, we make our own bread here. It might be somebody sitting next to you who made the bread this day. It's not the commercial stuff that goes crunch. It's real bread made with loving hands, bread with the earth in it. As we become one bread and one body, one of the really fun things that happens here every year is our students doing First Communion instruction. That week before Holy Week, Monday, Thursday, they bake bread for all of Holy Week. And those who are first welcome to the table bake bread for us to eat. And in it, Jesus is there. And we are fed here. We see Jesus again in this sacrament. But this is not the end of the road. You know how it is in our culture of consumerism. The world we live in leads us to believe that we should see everything through the lens of what's in it for me. What do I get? So for the world we live in, it is normal to assume that this is the end of the line. We come here, we get Jesus, and then we just go back to life as normal. We put in our time and money, we get what we want. Now, that kind of thinking is fine for your membership at the Y, or if you're buying a car or groceries. But when it comes to faith, it fails. Because you see, faith is not something, it's not a commodity we can just pull off the shelf. It's not an individual thing that we get to keep for ourselves. Now, we've heard the old saying, the old myth, that our faith is personal, so it's a private thing. No, no, no. Only half of that is true. Our faith is definitely a personal thing. What could be more personal than a God who loves us so much that he comes to us sacrificing himself for us and to us, removing fear and dread from us? What could be more personal and more intimate than this Jesus who comes to us in this bread and wine? And think about this. As we eat this bread, it becomes part of our bodies. What could be more intimate than that? What could be more personal than knowing absolutely everything about you, even all the secrets and all the things we like to hide, and loving us anyway? So yeah, that's pretty personal. Absolutely. But private? Oh no. How do you keep that kind of thing private? Faith is a public thing. Now, I know traditionally, public faith, carrying the good news into the world, has been understood in a pretty narrow way. Believing in Jesus, stopping there, and in many cases, taking that to mean believing in Jesus the way I do. And if you believe in Jesus in a different way, you must be wrong. So to be clear, public faith does not mean we should go around pounding on doors and becoming the pushy, Bible-quoting, judgy types who try to annoy others into conversion. That kind of thing, frankly, drives people away from faith. Oh, no. Public faith is a lot more like what our teens did yesterday in any work camp. Going all over the community, doing spring cleanup and light repairs for elderly and disabled residents in the community. Public faith happens when we fill those bins out there with food and coats. Public faith is being generous, supporting the work we do with the poor and the hungry and the least and the lost and the last. Jesus never said, convert them. Jesus said, love them. See, faith is not a thing that we can get and keep for ourselves alone. Remember, this church, any church, at most, is like the gas station. This is where we come to be filled back up. We are fed with God's promise. Hear that, God's promise. Promise of forgiveness and freedom and fresh starts. But we are not fed for our own contentment. We are fed and filled with a purpose to carry the good news of Jesus Christ into the world. Well, God's promise is for you and me, but it is not for you and me alone. It is a promise for the world, and it is meant to be shared. Now, another result of seeing faith through the lens of our culture of consumerism is it can lead us to over-spiritualize Jesus, to assume that God's promise is exclusively about the afterlife, what happens when after we die. In that scheme, forgiveness of sins becomes a personal, private score that is wiped clean so that when we die, we make the cut into heaven. Now, if we limit God's promise to Christ to that kind of thing, we miss a big part of what God's promise is about. It's not just the destination. It's not the just, oh, so cool feeling that I saw Jesus with me. No, it's not the journey. It's not the destination. Because there's not a single destination, but the journey, our lives, is the destination. Because Jesus is portable. Jesus comes with us all the time. It is about the way we choose to live. And that is where we get to see and feel Jesus and meet him again. This Jesus who said, you fed me when I was hungry. You visited me when I was sick and in prison. You clothed me when I was naked. Whenever you did it to one of these, you did it to me. That's the Jesus we're talking about. All the choices and decisions we make, how we treat others, whether we are generous with our things, whether we promote peace instead of violence, justice over injustice. Now, this doesn't mean we stop living our lives. We don't stop going to work. We don't stop taking our kids to practice. We don't stop cutting the lawn. But it does mean that we make it a point to love others while we are doing all those other things. If we do not live the way of Jesus on our journey, then it's very easy to assume that God's promise is only spiritual stuff and limited to what happens after we die. If we limit our understanding of God's promise to the afterlife, we might miss the opportunity to see and feel Jesus with us and in us every single day. You're just like Jesus' followers saw Jesus with them when he broke the bread. We do too. Jesus is here. But he's not only here. Jesus is portable. He travels with us, walking with us every step of our journey, whether we're going to Merton or downtown or Poughkeepsie. We may not always recognize him. We may not always see him. But he is with us. It's not the journey or the destination. The destination is the journey. And that is where we get to meet Jesus again. That's where faith becomes more than a commodity. It becomes more real. It's where it starts to make more sense as we live it, as God transforms us to live free and new and whole, because Jesus continues to come to us. And the good news is we don't need to recognize him every time he's there for it to be real. Jesus is there anyway. And there will be those times. There will be those times when after the fact we'll say, aha, God was at work. Jesus was with me. I did feel him, dear. That is where we meet Jesus again.